Longtime Capital Region journalist Michael DeMasi's new book is What They Said, 25 Years of Telling Stories. The book is based on the many stories he's covered around the region. Stories like a salvager who bought downtown Albany's biggest, ugliest building, an Irish priest lifting spirits at a maximum security prison, a wealthy socialite whose 40 dogs eat organic chicken, don't they all? They are some of the people that Michael DeMasi has interviewed during more than 25 years in journalism. He shares what they and many others have said in this collection of his favorite stories. He is a reporter for the Albany Business Review. He has written in the past for the Daily Gazette and the Post Star. Again, the name of the new book is What They Said, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mike to the roundtable this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thank you so much for having me.
Nice to have you on the program. So at what point did you think it would be fun to put these all together?
A couple of years ago, I came across a book. It was written by a former coworker of mine at the Post Star named Dave Blow.
And
it was a collection of his favorite stories.
Yep.
And that put the bug, you know, in my ear, so to speak, or at least the thought in my head that perhaps I could do the same thing at some point. It just took a little bit more time before I started to do the work necessary to compile the stories.
When you look at this sort of, a lot of this has to do with what you do, right? I mean, in the sense of the opportunities that you're given to talk to the people that you talk to.
Yes.
So give us a sense of how those various positions in journalism have put you in the situations to talk to these various people.
Well, I've been fortunate throughout my career to cover a variety of beats. I've worked at the Post Star, the Daily Gazette, now the Business Review. And, working for the dailies, you start out doing general assignment reporting, feature writing. I eventually did cover City Hall at both the Post Star and the Gazette, and briefly covered state government for the Gazette. And it's one of the fascinating, fun things about being a reporter is you're always meeting new people, and you're always learning things about them and about yourself. And you can always fulfill your curiosity. You know, when you hear about someone who may be interesting to speak with, you can get in touch with them and, you know, see if they'll talk to you. At the Business Review, I've been able to interview CEOs, entrepreneurs, managers, et cetera, at a variety of businesses. And they have, obviously, their stories to tell as well. So it's the same skill set that you're using, regardless of what publication you're working for. But it's different stories that you're telling.
Do you find that you have, I think I know the answer to this because it's I think all of us feel this way, that do you feel like you have enough time to understand that person, to figure out what would make a good story which would satisfy the deadline and to tell the story versus there's maybe those two or three little things that you would love to dig deeper into and find out more about?
I think it varies by story.
Yeah.
You know, certainly you always want to spend more time than you have interviewing someone and then ultimately writing the story, but there are deadlines that you have
right.
to abide by. These stories in the book are a nice, I think, diverse collection. You've got interviews that are more feature-type stories, like with this priest who worked at a maximum security prison up in Washington County, who, you know, obviously I visited him at the prison,
mm-hmm.
spent time with him there, got to know him as well as I could in the amount of time we were together, and then, you know, tried to convey to the reader, this is what he's like, this is what his job is like, you know, based on the experience that I had speaking with him. Other stories in the book are straight Q&As that I did
right.
with local business people, where I always enjoy talking to people and learning something about them that I think readers would want to know, because I find people fascinating and curious or in their own way. They all have a different story to tell. So, it's a nice range, I think, of stories that are in this book. Some names and faces that will be familiar to some people, like former mayor of Schenectady, Al Jarzynski, former mayor of Schenectady, Brian Stratton. But then other people they probably never heard of before, like Smiley Lumpkin.
And that is one of the greatest names in the book, right? Smiley Lumpkin.
Yes.
So who is Smiley, and how do you come to profile Smiley?
So I first learned about Smiley while seated around the dinner table of my then future in-laws, Tom and Fran Mithen. And my father-in-law was telling me about this gentleman, Smiley Lumpkin, who fixes clocks. And, you know, learn more about him, that he got together, Smiley's now deceased, got together weekly with other people in the basement of the Burnt Hills Baptist Church to talk about clocks. And I thought to myself, I've got to meet Smiley Lumpkin and see for myself what this all is all about. Well, you know, his personality and his graciousness lived up to his name. Just a wonderful person, very genuine, very giving of his time, and welcomed me into their private group, where I got to experience what it was like for them every Monday night to talk about all manner of clocks that they collect or maybe fixing at that time. And I had fun with the story, you know, as befitting, I think, Smiley's name. So that is one of those names that, you know, how can you forget it?
Right.
And so the other thing I did with this book is I wrote, for many of the stories, I wrote a postscript, essentially what happened to the person after the story appeared. And for Smiley, you know, I found his obituary and I quoted from his obit, giving the reader just a little bit more insight about what kind of person he is. And that was something that was also gratifying for me, was to, you know, where I could reconnect with some of these folks. One of them is the painter Harry Orlick. And I had not spoken to Harry in probably 25 years since I profiled him for the Post Star. But when I got him on the phone and explained to him what I was doing, we started talking, it was as if, you know,
No time had
passed at all. And that was really something I enjoyed as well about the book, is revisiting some of these people that I had met years ago.
When you look at your beats that you outlined a moment ago, whether it be at the Glens Falls Post Star, the Daily Gazette, or at the Business Review, what do you think we learn through your writing about this community, about the Capital Region, about this area, through the people that inhabit it?
Well, it sounds trite, but I mean, it's a special place.
Yeah.
I think you can go anywhere and you're going to find
most places,
exceptional
yeah.
people, you know.
Right? Most places, sure.
Yeah, I would say so. And you're going to find some people that, maybe do something or say something that doesn't reflect well on them or on the community at large. That's one of the great things about, you know, working in this job, is the sheer variety of folks that you come across. And most of them, I have to say, are good people. And they put your trust in you. They put their trust in you as a reporter to portray them accurately, not to parrot a certain cable news channel, but fairly as well.
Yes.
And speak to the readers about who they are, and to tell their story as concisely as you can.
I think we're both, you're a little bit younger than I am, but I think we're relatively the same age. And the reason that is important in the context of the question I'm about to ask you is just that in coming up and doing our jobs, we've seen a lot of changes. Certainly you've seen a lot of changes in journalism. There are pressures that are on you now that were perhaps not on you when you started to write at the beginning of your career.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, there was no Twitter.
Right.
You know, there were no smartphones. Right. There was the internet, but literally at the Post Star, when I started in the early 1990s, you had to go into kind of a back room, and the guy who was our IT guy had one terminal there that was connected to this thing called the internet. So very different
yes.
from today. You know, the speed, the sheer amount of content that's available instantly. And the amount of things that can potentially distract you as a consumer of news and as somebody who publishes news. I think it's even more challenging to figure out, like, to get through the clutter and figure out, okay, what am I going to focus on? What really matters? What do our readers now at the Business Review really care about? And what news do they value?
And the thing that I ultimately wanted to get to is that I know both you and I have had an opportunity to teach students, and it's fascinating because at the end of the day, it all gets down to the same thing, is that you want to find out about that individual. You want to find out about the story. And it's that talent in telling the story that ultimately will save the day.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you have to be willing. You have to be obviously a good listener, and you have to have someone that's willing to share.
Yeah.
Right. Every reporter has encountered that person who just won't open up. If they're not a public elected official, they're entitled to, their privacy. Other people, you'll find them, you ask them one question and it's off to the races. They're an open book.
Right.
Now, those are the people that, as a reporter, you're like, okay, I've got something really good here, because this is somebody who is willing to share about their personal lives or about their professional lives, or tell a story about their background that you hope other people can relate to.
But they're also, and it seems what makes you so good at what you do and what makes the book so interesting, is that there also has to be the curiosity and the interest.
Yes.
Of when you hear the name Smiley Lumpkin and you say to yourself, oh, I wonder what that's about, that you make that next connection. And isn't that really, and you can't go buy that. You can't learn that. That sort of has to be innate, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be willing to, not always pester people, but you have to be willing to put yourself out there and contact somebody that you either don't know or only know through an acquaintance and say, hey, I'm a reporter. I'd like to learn more about you or what you're doing. Can we talk? And if you get the yes, okay, well, now the door's open.
Yeah. What is it about us, do you think, that are interested? And by the way, I'm in asking this question, I'm agreeing with you 100% that we are interested in this, which is, somebody has 40 dogs and feeds them organic chicken. So that in and of itself is interesting. It may not what you want is the lead line in your obituary, but it does grab the reader. And says, okay, this is something you should know about this person.
It's something unique. It sets them apart.
Right. And did you went to the house and saw that?
Oh yeah,
this is
Michelle Rigge.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. She was very gracious. You know, I enjoyed talking with her. It was, I thought, a fun interview. After it was published, I heard that she wasn't pleased with it because she didn't realize I was going to use her words. Her comments word for word, which I did, because I thought that this was an opportunity for our readers just to learn more about someone who is well known in our community and who's been written about by other people. It wasn't like I discovered someone, you know, who's somehow, you know, flying below the radar. This was just my opportunity to try to get to know her and understand her a little bit more. So I think I approached that interview like, I hope I approached it the way somebody like off the street would have approached it who had never met her before. And she was willing to share what her life is like and why she's so passionate about her pets.
Is it, how do you deal with when people say, yeah, that wasn't, that I don't. That wasn't exactly what I was going for there.
As my editor, soon to retire, Mike Hendricks, said to me once, you know, everybody wants kind of the story to be their story.
Right.
But it's not their story. It's the story for the reader. And so, you know, and you have to, like I said initially, you know, you have to be fair and accurate to the person. You don't want to, draw or have a portrayal of them that is misleading, but you also have to understand that ultimately it's the reader that I'm serving, not the source that's talking to me.
The name of the new book is What They Said, 25 Years of Telling Stories. You're going to have a book signing on December 16th at the Open Door in Schenectady from 1 to 2:30.
Yes.
And then that same day you're going to be at the Bookhouse at Stuyvesant Plaza from 3:30 to 5, and then next month you'll be at Market Block Books in Troy on January 12th. The book is out. It is very cool. It is What They Said, 25 Years of Telling Stories. Mike, thank you very much for sharing with us. Best of luck, and good luck with the book. It's a very cool project.
Thanks, Joe. This has been an honor for me. I really appreciate
it. A great pleasure. Well, thank you very much. Michael DeMasi's new book is What They Said, 25 Years of Telling Stories. Again, on the 16th of December, he'll be signing the book at the Open Door in Schenectady and at the Bookhouse at Stuyvesant Plaza, 1 to 2:30 in Schenectady, 3:30 to 5 in Albany. You can find out more. You go to our website. We have the link there, wamc.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.